Let's read the vision for 2026. If you would read that out loud, I'll say it first, Lou. All right, I'll say it first, then you can say it after me, okay? So how many knows it is a new season? I love that song, and I think I'm claiming that song for this year. It's a new season. It's a new day. Hallelujah. The prophetic flows freely. The harvest is ripe. Prodigals return home. Come on, some of you not joining in. You got to join in. Let's get in agreement here. Vision is renewed. Dreams are fulfilled. Strength increases. Growth multiplies. Joy replaces every tear. And a song of restoration is coming back to the church. Amen. Now, I have another banner somewhere. I have no idea where it's at, Chris. You did make us another one, right? Oh, that is the new one. I don't know where the old one is, but we need both banners. If anybody knows where the other one's at, we need to get the other one up here, okay? So today I want to talk to you about growth multiplies. I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but I want to talk to you about growth multiplies, but I'm going to do it in a little different fashion than what you might be thinking when I talk of a vision statement concerning growth. And so I want to talk to you today about seeds, because it all starts with seeds. Your today is a result of the seeds that you planted yesterday. Your tomorrows will be the result of what kind of seeds you planted today. Now, I realize they don't always come up in 24 hours, but I'm telling you, eventually, you will live in the harvest of the seeds that you've been planting. You don't like the harvest? How many knows we can change the seeds? And so we're going to talk about seeds a little bit. And so I want everybody here that has a right hand to raise it up real high. If you have a right hand, hold it up real high. Come on. Yeah, everybody. All right, you can put it down now because I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to be like the speech was the other night. I'm going to ask you to show your right hand if you would really, really like to live the blessed life. Let me see. I want to do a quick gander, okay? Because if your hand's not up, we're going to. Okay, put it down. How many want to experience breakthrough in your life? All right, there's a couple amens. How many would like to have a fruitful life, a fruitful job, fruitful family, a fruitful marriage? Am I in the right church today? Well, I think it ought to be every one of us. I didn't see any hands not go up, but I think every one of us should have raised our hands on every one of those questions, because all of us really desire to have a fruitful life. Amen? I've never seen anyone yet that would say, well, you know, I just don't want everything God has for me. I just don't want to live, in God's best. I just want to live below. I've never seen anybody say, I want to live below the poverty line. Have you? You know why we work? We work to pay our bills. We work to put food on the table. We work to help us get by in life. Well, if you didn't care, you probably wouldn't work. Come on, church. I've never heard anybody say, well, I don't want to be fruitful. Everybody wants to be fruitful. We want to live a blessed life. We want to live a breakthrough life. We don't like having to come up against these walls and these mountains and giants and not have breakthrough. Nobody likes that. Can I hear an amen? But if we're going to talk about harvest, and if we're going to talk about breakthrough, and we're going to talk about fruitful, we've got to go back to the very beginning and talk about seeds. Everybody say seeds, because you're not going to have fruitfulness without seeds. You're not going to have breakthrough without seeds. Amen. God starts everything he does with a seed. And in just a moment, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, to the very beginning book, to the very first chapter of Genesis. And we're going to talk about seeds. But before we do that, may I remind you that in Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, as long as the earth remains. Anybody here today? How many feel like you're remaining on earth? It's not blown up yet, right? It's still here. As long as the earth remains, how many knows there's going to be hot days like Friday and cold days like today? That's what the Bible says. How many knows there's going to be light and dark? It's light here, but how many knows it's dark in Georgia? I guess. What time is it in Georgia? So, day and night's going to remain, and heat and cold's going to remain, but guess what else is going to remain? Seed time and harvest. It all starts with a seed. And when we want to know how does God operate, how does God work, you got to know that God is very intentional about what he does. He doesn't do anything haphazardly. He doesn't say, oh, I got an idea, let's do this. No, God does what he does intentionally. Now, I'm going to try to talk this morning and not preach and shout at you, but I'm going to get so excited because I've been working on this for quite a while. And I told Nick and Blake yesterday, I said, the more I study, the more God downloads in me and the more paperwork I have to send to them. And I just filled their email box up with all kinds of notes. But listen, man, I know what God is wanting to say to Solid Rock today, and I know I'm not going to get it all done in one day. But if you want to know about what God does, just check the Word of God and you'll find out he always starts with a seed. Huh? Now, if you're going to study doctrine, if you're going to study theology, there's a law that you must apply. You can't just pick a scripture out of the Bible and say, oh, I think I'll make a doctrine out of that. So many people like to pull out Philippians 4:19, my God, supply all my need. But listen, you can't make a doctrine out of that because if you ain't doing, pardon my Arkansas, if you're not doing Philippians 4:17 and 18, verse 19's not going to work for you. You can't claim a harvest without a seed. Somebody say it's going to be good today. And so anytime you want to investigate a subject or a topic about, you know, and get right down into it, there's a law called the law of first mention. Gary, remember that? That friend of yours taught you about that. The law of first mention. And what that means is, this simply means if you're going to study something, it's important that you go see and find out where it's first mentioned because it sets the precedent for everything else. And so the law of first mention is vitally important so that you just don't come up with a bunch of, is it James that talks about all these different kinds of doctrines and the winds of doctrines that people are caught up in? You know, there's so many things coming down the pike now. Listen, you better know the Word of God and just don't take something somebody says on Facebook. TikTok, Instagram, Telegraph. Is that one? Telegraph? Telegram. I don't know. But we know because the way God set everything up in Genesis, God was very intentional about what he did. He's very intentional. And so God, this is amazing to me, Gabe. He introduces the idea of the seed on the third day of creation before he ever creates humanity. The seed comes up. This is the law of first mention. He reveals his intention by what he says. We should know what people's intentions are by what they say, but how many know some people are what we call deceptive? Good preaching, Pastor. He reveals his intention by what he says. Just like my mama used to say when I was at home, she'd say, the trash needs to go out. Well, if I ignored the trash needs to go out and just continued watching television, how many knows my mom would get a little more intentional and she'd say, Daryl, the trash has got to go out. If you still didn't know her intention and wanted to wait just 3 or 4 more minutes, she'd say, Daryl Ray Rhodes, I said, take the trash out. Now, how many knows she was intentional about what she said? Y'all have a mama like me? How about it, Tiffany? Do you have a mama like you? Like her? And so when God speaks, he's revealing his intention. And I love what it says, and we'll visit it in just a minute. But he said, and God saw. Listen to this. God said, and then God saw. Now, that's a revelation right there. God said, and then God saw. You know what we want to do? We want to see, and then we will believe and say, oh, thank you, God, you did it. We have to say before we see. You plant the seed before you claim the harvest. Come on, church, say amen. Amen. And the Bible says, he saw what he said. You know how I know? Because it says, he said that it was good. And God saw that it was good. I'm telling you, God will always have what he says. Amen. Like it or not, honey, God always is going to get what he says. Let me give you about three scriptures to prove that, and then I want to get into the seeds message. Isaiah 55 and 11. From the Amplified, I'll be reading, "So will my word be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void," in other words, useless or without results. Don't you love that? The word that comes out of my mouth will not return useless. It will not return without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That's the word of God. His word is powerful, Roth. His word is powerful. And then in Numbers 23:19 from the NIV, "God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does God promise and not fulfill?" Well, we all know the answer to both those questions are no. When God speaks, he acts. When God say he gonna do it, he gonna do it. Amen? That's boomer talk right there. And then Psalms 89 from the NLT, verse 34, says, "I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word that I have said." So I believe God's pretty intentional about his word, don't you? Amen. So we're talking about growth multiplies. Growth multiplies. We're talking about you've got to plant the seed before there's the harvest. Amen. And so Genesis chapter 1, the law is established. And listen, it's established in the natural and in the physical realm. When God establishes a law, there's no taking away from it. Amen? It's forever settled in heaven. And so we're going to look. And in fact, let me just give you a couple more preliminary scriptures. In Galatians 6 and 7, I want to talk about this for a moment. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." How many has heard this scripture all your life? Be not deceived, God's not mocked. And we're good on that second part. "For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." But you know, sometimes we're a little light on the first part that says God is not deceived. "Be not deceived," okay, "be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows," now listen to the Amplified, "be not deceived, God is not mocked, he will not allow himself to be ridiculed, not treated with contempt, nor allow his presence to be scornfully set aside, for whatever a man sows," and I love these next four words, "this and this only will he reap." Whatever a man sows, this and this only will he reap. My, I can go all kinds of places with this morning. You pray for me that I stay focused and don't get run off the rails today, because this is some good stuff. When he says don't be deceived, you know what he's saying? Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. God's not going to be mocked. God's not going to be made fun of. You know, there's some people that deceive others, but the greatest deception is self-deception. You know, as a person that's self-deceived, you can't teach them anything. You can't help them in any area. You can't help train them. You can't counsel them when they're self-deceived. And so God's saying, don't believe that lie. God's saying, don't believe that lie. God is not mocked. Let me say it like this. God cannot be outwitted. God cannot be ignored. He cannot be disrespected. He will not be made a fool of. And to mock God means to treat him as though his word doesn't matter and his authority carries no weight. Are you with me? Whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever, a man soweth, that and that only will he reap. That's the unchanging law of life. It never changes. And sometimes we sow seeds, and how many knows we pray for crop failure? Come on now. How many knows if you sow dishonesty, you're going to reap mistrust? You see, I'm not talking about money today. You thought I was going to talk about money, didn't you? No, I'm talking about whatever you sow. If you sow compromise, how many knows you're going to reap weakness? If you sow righteousness, you're going to reap strength. And if you sow obedience, you'll reap blessing. I'm telling you, it's not in God's hand. Don't get mad at me and walk out, but it's not in God's hand. The seed is in your hand. We're blaming God because we don't have a harvest when you're sitting there with the seed in your hand. I'll talk to you in a minute about what that seed is, but that seed can be your words. That seed can be your actions. It can be your demeanor. It can be your finances, yes. But the law of the harvest says every seed will produce good or bad. Now, I mean, we like the good part. But we hope God doesn't mean it on the bad part. I want to remind you, don't be deceived. God will not be made a fool of. Whatever you sow, good or bad, we will reap, okay? Everything starts with a seed. Every tree you see around this property and around your property, every tree you see started as a seed. Doesn't that blow your mind? Started as, I didn't say a bunch of seeds, it started as a seed. Every harvest that you see, when you drive by some farmland here in the St. Francis County area and you see cornfields or soybean fields or whatever's growing, you see that big old field. You know what? That all started with a seed. Come on, church, say a seed. Do you know every habit in your life began as a seed? Uh-huh. Every victory or every failure began as a seed. Somebody just encourage me and say, it's going to be good today. You see, God established this from the very beginning, right? Seeds reproduce after their kind. Now, you can stick your head in the sand and you can pretend like this doesn't really work, but I'm telling you what, it is a law that God established in the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. God established that law, and it is a law that we cannot change. Amen. Seeds produce after their kind. In other words, you can't plant one thing and expect something to come up out of the ground. Now, I know this is very elementary, but we need to be reminded. Maybe we're wondering why our harvest isn't coming. Maybe we need to check our seed. What have you been sowing? You know, the book of James says bitter water. Sweet water and bitter water doesn't come out of the same well. You can't sow bitter and expect sweet. There we go. Got it out. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you can't plant apples and get oranges. I know that's elementary, and I know you've heard it 1,000 times, but I'm going to say it again because sometimes things are so simple, they just go right over us. You cannot plant apples and get oranges. You can't plant potatoes and expect radishes. Amen? You can't plant bad and expect good. You can't plant dishonesty and expect trust. Amen? You can't plant faithfulness and not reap goodness. Amen? So say this with me. The harvest is always connected to the seed. Say it. The harvest. Let's say it one more time. The harvest is always connected to the seed. And so this morning, I want to give you guys a shot in the arm. I want to give you something that's going to help you realize, man, I've got confidence that things are going to change in my life because I'm going to change the way I've been planting seeds. I'm going to change the way I've been sometimes we gripe about the culture, but you know what? The culture is just the result of something that we've allowed to be planted. You know, the culture of your marriage might be fighting and disagreeing and knock down drag outs, but how many of you can change that culture by planting seeds? Amen. Well, she don't deserve it. Oh, yeah, she does. You should have been in class this morning. You'd have heard about how we're supposed to treat one another, husbands and wives. But listen, if you want to change the culture, the temperature of your marriage, you're the one that's going to have to start planting seeds and stop waiting for the harvest to come up for her. The harvest to come up because you're waiting for her to change. You plant the seeds. How many knows 9 times out of 10, it's not her that needs to change, it's you that needs to change.
Amen. Come on, church.
You weaklings, you're afraid to say amen. Come on, guys, listen. No, let's go on. Let's look at Genesis 1. We're going to go to Genesis 1, okay? We're going to go to this right here. If you want to change your business, if you want to change your church, if you want to change your world, if you want to change your marriage, you're the sower and you can change. You are the sower. Your future is locked up in your seed. Amen. Y'all get that this morning. Amen. Before we go there, I just have to do this today because I wanted to do something a little different. I kind of did some checking this week. And all I wanted to do was I wanted to go to the feed store and just buy one grass seed. But they wouldn't let me buy one grass seed. They said, no, you have to buy a pound. Do you know that a pound of grass seed can do 1,000 to 3,000 square feet of grass? Fact check me later on, not now. That's 1 pound right there can do 1,000 to 3,000 square feet of grass. That blows my mind. And of course, you know, if you want it thicker and thicker, you plant it a little thicker, right? But listen, here's what I want you to see this morning. Would you take this, brother? Would you take that and just pass? Let everybody take a seat out of this, Gabe. Everybody in the center section, take a seat out of that. Come on, big guy. Give this to everybody. And everybody take one seed out of that, okay? One seed. It's going to be hard to get just one seed. And listen, I don't want to go around after church and see grass seed all over this church, okay? If you don't want to throw it away, just eat it. It won't hurt you. Now, while you're doing that, be sure and listen. Come on, walk around. Walk around. Take that big guy. Take that bag around there and let him reach into there. It's going to take forever like this. Walk around, guys. Okay, where's the camera? Can you zoom up on this right here? I don't know how close you can get. Can you see that? Can you see that? Say something. That, you know what this is? This is going to blow your mind. This is one apple seed. One. I had to eat an apple last night and pick the seeds out of it to get the apple seed. But I wanted to show you, look how tiny that is. One apple seed. Now, what does that mean? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Listen to this. One apple seed will produce, one apple seed will produce one apple tree. You don't believe me? Just ask Siri, okay? Somebody's already fact-checking me. One apple seed can produce a whole apple tree. Now, think about this. One healthy apple tree can produce about 150 to 300 apples per year. Anybody got apple trees at your house? Anybody? Am I close? Am I way off? You don't know? Okay, well then, anybody got producing apple trees? Okay. So you can't say I'm lying to you because y'all don't know, right? Okay. But I checked it, and this is what they said. One healthy apple tree can produce 150 apples per year for 20 to 30 years. From this one little seed. I want you to see this today. I know you can't see the apple seed, but let me go on. That means one apple seed could eventually produce thousands of apples over its lifetime. But let me give you a little bit deeper truth here. Listen to this one. Inside one apple isn't just one apple. It's an orchard waiting to happen. Somebody say, ooh, that's good. You see, every apple has about 5 to 8 seeds. I only pulled 4 out of this one, but every apple, I probably ate the other one, but every apple has about 5 to 8 seeds. Each seed can grow one tree. So how many apple trees are in one seed? Thousands. Because they reproduce, then they reproduce again, and they reproduce again, and the seeds keep y'all understand, is that simple enough for everybody? Now, I said that to say this. It's not about what you see, it's about what's on the inside. We're too busy looking at the seed and saying, oh, it's too small. It's not big enough. It will not make any difference. Listen, that one tree, that one seed can produce a tree that can produce 150 apples for 20 years. So what do you see in a seed? What do you see in speaking the right word? What do you see when it comes to giving your tithe, your offerings, giving to missions? What do you see? Are you seeing that dollar, that 10, that 20, that 100, that 1,000, that 10,000? What do you see? The seed is so small compared to the harvest. Somebody put your hands together and say, amen. It's not about what you see. It's about what's on the inside. And so I go back to this little blade of grass. Everybody got a blade of grass in your hand? Hold it out. And look, it's weightless. In fact, you can't even hardly see it. And you will probably drop it before church is over today. It's easy to overlook. It's easy to dismiss. You know, some of you can drop it, and we will never see it until Sarah vacuums the church again. Okay, but listen, inside that one seed is not just one blade of grass. It holds the potential for thousands more seeds. I'm reading this. Plant that one seed, it becomes one plant. That one plant produces multiple shoots. Those shoots produce seed heads. Those seed heads produce hundreds, even thousands of new seeds. And those seeds produce more plants, and those plants produce more seeds, which started as one becomes a field. Talking about the importance of seeds. Am I boring anybody? Anybody bored? Okay. Let me just give you kind of a spiritual truth here. Seeds never stay single. Unless you hold on to it. Seeds only remain single when you hold on to it. Think about it. Now, God built multiplication into that seed, but what are you doing with that seed? Are you holding on to it? Or are you releasing it? You know, it'll not do you any good in your hand. Guess what? I can go down to the feed store like I did Friday, and I saw all kinds of seeds. In fact, in those three plastic bags, there was watermelon seeds and there was cantaloupe seeds. Have you ever opened a cantaloupe? And you take a spoon, and what do? You dig out all the seeds on both sides. That one seed that was planted for that cantaloupe has hundreds, I don't know how many, but hundreds of seeds in it. And each one will produce another of its like kind. Can you see the power of a seed? How many knows Jesus was the first seed that was resurrected from the dead? He was the seed that was planted and raised to life so that we could have life everlasting, so that we could be a part of the family of God, so that one day we'll go in heaven and be with him. That's all. He was the seed. He had to be buried. He had to be planted in order for there to come forth the birth of many people. Is this helping anybody at all today? So, every action, here we go now, every action is a seed. You know when somebody shakes your hand and you just give them an old bear growl and, it's not a good day, don't tell me to have a good day. You know that's you just gave a seed. Come on. That's a seed. Every action is a seed. Listen to this. Every word is a seed. Your words are seeds. And it's mentioned many times in the Word of God. Our words, death and life, are in the power of the tongue. Mark 11, you will have whatever you say. Your words are seeds. Guess what? Every decision is a seed. If you decide to turn left at a red light and think nobody's looking, how many knows you just planted a seed that might cost you $150? We plant seeds by our words, by our actions, by our decisions. Now, let's flip the coin. How many knows one act of kindness is a seed? How about trying that one on, Solid Rock Family Church? Every act of kindness is a seed. And those seeds can produce a lifetime of influence. Some of you will never forget that one act of kindness that somebody did for you 20 years ago. You might remember their name. They may not remember who you are, but you will not forget, because one act of kindness can produce a lifetime of influence. One compromise can produce a lifetime of consequences. Are you still with me? One prayer can produce a generation of blessings. We're talking about seeds. One act of obedience can open the doors that no man can shut. I'm about to get so happy, I'm going to run around this place here in just a minute. Cameraman, get ready. If I run, you better stay with me. You may think it's small, but seeds only stay small as long as they're in your hand. Or that gesture of kindness, or that blessing somebody. That act of kindness is a seed. I'm not trying to get in your pocketbook. I'm trying to get this to be nicer. I'm trying to get us to be kinder. I'm trying to get us to plant seeds of when God tells us to do something, obedience has a reward. Disobedience also has consequences. My dad taught me that when I was growing up. Some of you that know my dad, Sister Radford, you know my dad. Gary and Connie Doss know my dad. Sherry, you know my dad. I don't know if Cindy does, but several of you know my dad. He's been here and preached a few times. Listen, he says kindness has rewards. Obedience has rewards, but disobedience has consequences. And you know what? My dad knew how to take that belt off. I mean, I think they taught him in the Marine Corps how to pull that belt out, and you could hear it go around those loops. I mean, it was like a shotgun going off every time it come through one of those loops, and you knew you were in. Right? Anybody have a dad like me? Yeah, most of you old-timers did, yeah. I love this statement. You're not just living in today's harvest, you're living in yesterday's seeds. I'm saying so many good things, you need to write this down. How many knows a short pencil is better than a long memory? Write it down. And the seeds you sow today will become the harvest you live in tomorrow. If you're still with me, shout amen. Now, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. I've got about a few minutes left, so let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, and let's see in the book of beginnings, let's look and see where God set the principle of seed time and harvest. Chapter 1, verse 11, I'm reading from the NLT. Your Bible will say the same thing, just in different wording. Okay, God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. This is the law of first mention, Gary, the law of first mention. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. Isn't that pretty simple? I can't believe God had to put it in the Word to explain it to us. Every seed is going to produce just like the fruit that it came from. You can't plant bad seeds and expect a good harvest. You can't plant unfriendliness and expect friendliness. You can't plant generosity without reaping generosity. I'm just looking around to see if anybody's got a frown on their face, and I don't see too many right now. We continue. Okay. Verse 13. From which they came, and that is what happened. Verse 12, the land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants. How many of those God had to plant the first seed? But listen, I'll get into this next week, I think. But do you know when Adam and Eve decided to pluck the plant and eat the fruit, they had to plant the seed to get the next one? Huh? Now, I want to tell you something. When they planted that seed, it didn't just immediately erupt, right? It didn't just immediately become an apple tree. It took time. Some of you need to get patient in your waiting for the harvest to come. But just as sure as I'm standing here today and you're sitting there, the harvest will come. You can't stop the harvest. You know, we might delay it. You know, Mark 4 talks about the hard ground, the soft ground, the stony ground, the weedy ground and all that. You might slow it down, but you can't stop the harvest. It's coming. Okay, where am I at? Verse 12 again. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and the trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's a natural law. Now, do you know the Bible says in Proverbs, I don't know if I have that up there or not, but the book of Proverbs says, he that hath friends must what? Come on, must what? Must first. He that hath friends must first. I want to tell some of you grouches in here today. You're waiting for somebody to come up and smile at you and be friendly at you. And if they don't come up in the next two or three services, you're going to quit because nobody was friendly to you. You missed a good chance to say amen. Let's look at that scripture. He that have friends must, say what? Say it again. First, show himself friendly. Can I tell you something? Friendship is the harvest. Friendliness is the seed. You plant the seeds of friendliness and you will receive a harvest. You plant the seeds of friendliness and friendship will be the harvest. Amen? So today, we're all walking in the harvest of our seeds, like it or not. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What I'm wanting you to see today is everything we do is a seed. Do you know we had an elderly man and woman come over to this church recently, and was it a 5-gallon bucket, Dwayne, of that stuff that you covered the roof with, or a one-gallon bucket. I mean, this elder, what are they, probably in their 60s, 70s? They climbed up on this 20-foot building back here, tall building, and they took a paintbrush and a bucket of sealer, and they went around, and Roth, you were there. You did the same thing, too. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Eugene, don't want to make anybody mad and quit the church. Mike Swain, and they, thank you, sir. And they were patching the roof, the holes in our brand new roof that we got back in 2012. Listen, do you know that is a seed? That is a labor of love. That was a seed planted. Do you know? In a few days, we're going to have a work day here at the church. We're going to have spring cleaning. You know, we're gonna just tear this place apart and get it all cleaned up. But you know what? Every minute that you invest in cleaning, that is a seed that you are planting. Guess what? There's a harvest coming. I said there's a harvest coming. Here's the problem, folks, when we don't see it and realize that it's a seed. Well, I'm just doing my due diligence, like Tyler said this morning. Well, I'm just checking did you say that this morning? Just checking the box. I did my due diligence. I went to church Sunday. No, we didn't just come to church. We came to be a blessing, and we come to minister to other people. We come to love on people. We come to worship God. We come to plant seeds. Right? These musicians, every Sunday morning, they're here at 8 o'clock. Some of you don't get out of bed till 8 o'clock on Sunday. I know, because you don't get here till about 5 after. But you don't get out of bed. But these guys are here, dressed, showered, smelling good, and ready to go, rehearsing for the Sunday morning service. They spend all Sunday afternoons here sometime rehearsing and learning new songs. You know that? You know what that is? That is investing time in the kingdom of God. We call that seed time. But if you just say, well, I'm just doing it because I like to play the guitar and I'm just doing it because Dwayne expects me to be here, that's not a seed. I am coming to plant a seed in the kingdom of God. Is this okay? Everything we do is a seed. We have a little teenage boy here that comes to church. And he'll ask me for a ride home sometimes. And, you know, it's not just right on my way home, but I'll take him home. And, you know what? That is a seed. It's a good deed seed. And there's, you know what? We all need to be open to doing good deed seeds. Amen? I think Jake goes by and picks him up most of the time, and I know it's out of your way to pick him up, but it's a good seed deed. No, it's a good deed seed. I just made that up, and I thought it sounded pretty good. A good deed seed. Stick with me a few more minutes. We have no right to expect anything else to come up out of our lives or out of the ground other than what we have planted. Words, actions, decisions, attitudes. Help me out, Dwayne. What else? God said, be not deceived. I'm not mocked. I'll not be made a fool of. Mark it down. If you sow it, you will reap it. Now, I was brought up in a household that was like, be sure your sins will find you out. You know? You're going to reap what you sow, boy. You get drunk on Friday night with all those other teenagers, you're gonna reap what you sow. I didn't hear the positive side of reaping what I sow. But there is a good side to reaping what you sow if you're sowing good things, right? Some of you had parents like me. I love that song, Krista, that we sang, I'll take you at your word. I'll take you at your word. That's a powerful song. And if he says, I'll reap what I sow, Dennis, I'm going to take him at his word. I will reap what I sow. And I can't blame God if the harvest is not good. Well, this is a great church to preach at. It's a great church. Real quickly, I'm going to give you five things. I'm going to give you five truths about the sower and the seed. I'll give you these 5 points. I'll get out of your way. And some of you can go home. Not us. We have staff meeting today. Dwayne, I didn't call for the musicians yet. The bathroom's the other way. We have cameras. All right, point number one. Here we go. Write this down or take a picture of it. Every person is a sower. I know that is simple and elementary, but you gotta get this. We are all sowers. And like it or not, you are sowing every day. You see, I want to see Solid Rock multiply. I want to see growth multiply at Solid Rock. But there's something that we have to do. We've got to plant the seeds. You'd be amazed what a seed of invitation might do. Well, I invited 12 people and not one of them came. But you know the 13th might have come if you would have kept on at it. There are people here today because somebody invited them. There are people that's been a part of this church for years because somebody invited them. And your influence goes much further than what you think. You may think that it's just like water off a duck's back. They're not even listening. You've planted the seed. You plant the seed. Amen. Don't expect a harvest if there's no seeds planted. The Bible says the harvest is ripe. It's white. It's ready to harvest. But what? The laborers are few. Number one, whether you realize it or not, you're sowing every day. You sow through your actions. I told you a while ago that every seed, every decision is a seed. Every act of obedience is a seed. Guess what? Every act of disobedience is a seed. You're planting something. You sow, number two, through your words. We're sowing every day. Every day we're sowing through our words. You plant seeds in other people. You know, you're planting your future with the words that are coming out your mouth. Number three, we sow through our attitudes. Did you know that bitterness is a seed? Remember that scripture, the root of bitterness? Some of us need to let go of some bitterness that we've been holding on to. You got to let it go, because if you don't, you're going to reap seeds of bitterness. You're going to reap fruit of bitterness. Amen? That's why we got to forgive. You know, unforgiveness will kill you. You got to release it. Release it. Okay. Gratitude. Gratitude is a seed. I've never, ever heard, Ray, I've never heard a farmer say, man, I didn't mean to plant that. What do you mean soybeans? I meant to plant corn. Soybeans are coming up. Farmers know what they're doing. How many knows? We ought to be aware of what we're doing. I'm trying to help remind you and brand it in your heart and memory today that everything we do is a seed and we will reap a harvest. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but 5 years down the road, here comes the harvest. Say this with me, whatever goes in the ground will come up. That's point number one, every person is a sower. Point number two, every seed produces a harvest. Every seed produces a harvest. And guess what? The harvest will always be greater than the seed. I didn't say maybe, I didn't say could be, it will be. What good would it do to plant a seed and only get one product, one apple? I mean, I guess you could every few months get another apple from that apple, but how about getting a bushel of apples from that one seed? Amen? Everybody say, the harvest is certain. And say this, the harvest is consistent. In other words, you're always going to reap what you sow, not something different. Number three, I'll skip all of that. You cannot mock God's system. Number three, we cannot mock God's system. In other words, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore God's laws. You can't ignore the system. You can't ignore what he said he will do. You can't disrespect it or treat it as irrelevant. What God says he means will come to pass. Amen. And sometimes we think, you know, I think we mock God when we say, oh, he understands. We mock God when we say, oh, it's not really going to happen that way. We mock God when we sow sin and expect peace as a harvest. You can't sow compromise and expect a blessing. God's law can't be broken. Be not deceived. Amen. That's number three. You can't mock God's system. Number, worship team, come on up. Dwayne, come on up, worship team. I've got two more points, but we're going to start with number four here. The harvest will always reveal what was planted. Some of you educated people are sitting there this morning saying, Pastor, you've repeated yourself so many times today. You've said the same thing over and over and over, and I did it on purpose. You know why? Because we learn by repetition. We don't learn it because we hear it one time. How many knows faith don't come faith? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word over and over and over. So I know it's simple. I know it's elementary, but the harvest reveals what was planted. Guess what? If there's chaos in your life, guess what was planted? If there's weakness, but if there's peace, if there's strength, guess what was planted? So I'll say it again. You're living today in yesterday's harvest, and you're planting seeds today for tomorrow's harvest. Is this all right tonight, today? All right, let's stand to our feet, and I'll give you number five. Don't anybody leave. Don't anybody bail on me right now. I'm just letting you stretch a little bit. Give you point number five. It's a new season. It's a new day. There's a harvest headed my way. Number five, did we get that? You can change your harvest by changing your seed. If you don't like what's coming up, change the seed. So simple. How we complicate it, I have no idea. Dr. Sue, we reap what we sow. If you don't like the harvest, change the seed. Change the seed. Change what you're planting. Sow faith instead of fear and watch courage take root. Sow obedience instead of compromise and watch the blessings grow where confusion once ruled. What you plant in your life today will rise in your life tomorrow. You know, one of the things that that I really love about God and what He specializes in, it's something new all the time. There's always something new with God. There's you know, His mercies are what? Lamentations. His mercies are new every morning. God's into new, amen? He specializes in new beginnings. And He wants new beginnings for every one of us. But somewhere, we have to start the ball rolling by planting the seed. Here's a good one. You might want to write this one down. Every field will eventually tell the truth. Every field will eventually tell the truth. You can cover your seed. You can try to hide your seed. You can try to cover it. But how many knows you can't stop it? You can't stop the seed. Seeds produce. If you sow faith, if you sow obedience, blessings will rise. Faith will rise. Let me just read you one more little thing here, then we're going to go home. Nobody here today believes that if you plant radishes, you're going to get corn. Nobody. Nobody believes that. There's nobody that, what's the word I should say that would be nice? Naive. Yeah, that's a good one. We know that if we plant radishes, we will get radishes. Now, let me remind you of Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. You do the giving. You do the giving. You start the work. You start by planting it. You give kind words, love. You give encouragement. You lift up a brother or a sister. You speak good things about people. And it will be given to you, guess how? In a harvest of good measure, pressed down and shaken together. The harvest, the good measure, the pressed down, the shaken together, doesn't come until you do number one, you give. I give forgiveness. I choose forgiveness. I choose to let go of the past. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. We know we shouldn't have done that. What were we thinking? I'm smarter than that. How in the world? Why would I do such a dumb thing? And then we try to forgive ourselves, and the devil keeps coming back with that condemnation and saying, you're not worthy. You know, you knew better than that. But you know what? It didn't take God by surprise when you did what you did. And God still says, my mercies are new and fresh every morning. Amen. Give, and it will be given to you. The harvest, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. My question for you today is, what kind of seeds are you planting? Maybe you came in here today one way. Maybe yesterday you're sorry for it. Maybe you planted some, after you heard this today, said, man, I should have planted those seeds yesterday. But you know what? You can plant today and get a brand new harvest. It's a new day. It's a new day. Start planting. Ladies and gentlemen, start planting the seed. Don't wait till church is over. Don't wait until you go home. Start planting immediately, planting those thoughts, those intentions, those decisions. Start planting. Amen. What kind of seed are you planting? Father, in the name of Jesus, we've all been guilty. We've all failed when it came to planting the right seeds. We've allowed our flesh, our emotions, our feelings to get in the way. And we probably planted things that we regret. But God, I'm thankful that today we can start a new harvest by planting the right seeds. I pray, God, that this message will be branded on our hearts, our minds, and that we're going to be reminded every day, everything we do is a seed. I will plant kindness. I will plant mercy. Aren't you glad that God gave you mercy before you asked for it? Aren't you glad that He gave forgiveness before you ever asked for it? It was a promise. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners? If you're here this morning, I want to give you an invitation to know Jesus in a personal way. I don't mean just some historical figure that we read about at Christmas and celebrate at Easter, but I'm talking about having a real relationship, a love for Jesus, communicating, fellowshipping, walking hand in hand with the one that died for you. If you're in this house this morning and you say, Pastor Rhodes, I want to get things right with God today. I need to start planting the right seeds. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to get back to where I used to be with the Lord. I need to make it right today. If that's you, just slip your hand out. I want to pray with you this morning. Just give you an opportunity to make peace with God. Nobody has to leave today without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If I were to ask you today, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be in the presence of God, if you would die on the way home today, you could say assuredly, I would be in the presence of the Lord. If that's you, thank God. If you can't say that, you need to make it right this morning. Don't delay. Plant the seed today. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Jesus, come into my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. It's a new season.
It's a new season.
Come on, church. Let's sing this together. It's a new day.
It's a new day.
Fresh anointing.
Fresh anointing.
It's coming our way. Oh, oh, oh.
It's flowing my way.
Come on. Do you believe it? Do you believe it this morning?